building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
It is absolutely fascinating. Maybe that's not the best word, but it's something to look at everything that has happened and how the world scene has changed, even in the course of 1 year. A lot has happened, hasn't it? I've been extremely moved, and I think about how much, at least, we see of things like governments toppling, revolutions, economic disaster, financial cliff talk, all these sort of things, bombs going off in the open squares, earthquakes in various places. It's an intensely intense time on the world scene, isn't it? Challenging time on the world scene. Everyone seems to be gripped by fear right now. That is the one thing that I've noticed over and over is people are really intensely gripped by fear. There is millennial madness all around us, it seems, on top of all of this. It wasn't so long ago that Harold Camping had made his prediction, and you remember all of the news and all of the crazies of things that happened with people after that. This last Friday was supposed to be the end of the world according to the Mayan calendar, and it didn't happen again. What does all of this mean? It's just accumulation of so many things happening, so many events, so many dangerous things. And I think probably what has been largely on our minds is the struggle that we're having living in this country, seeing what appears to be the fall of the United States. If you're stirred up by any of that, I could go on. If you're stirred up by any of this, you're getting a little sense and a little taste of what the disciples were facing in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples were overwhelmed with fear. The disciples were overwhelmed with panic. And the Lord is answering this fear this morning. The Lord is giving them perspective. He's giving them a way forward. He's helping them think through everything they're seeing because their perspective is all wrong. And they have forgotten. They have forgotten how powerful the Lord is, what is supreme sovereignty and control really means in light of these events, and that all of this chaos that we're seeing happen and take place does not mean that the Lord has let this world spin into chaos and out of control. So this is Matthew 24 this morning. And Jesus assures His disciples here that He is the author of the future, that we are not to live in fear, but that we are to be ready because all of these things that are happening around the world and in our country and all around us are indicating to us the coming is soon. The second coming, it is near, at the door. That's what our Lord wants us to think about. That's what our Lord wants us to consider this morning. So I thought it'd be immensely helpful today to look at how our Lord instructed His people in the past through these things, what He did specifically to deal with these problems, to move His people forward, and to teach them that they are not alone, that God's people have always faced these things as He prepares us and wants us to be ready. So the purpose here is twofold in Matthew 24. The purpose here is to comfort the sheep who are scared. And that's really big and important to say up front this morning. The purpose is to comfort scared sheep. But there's another purpose. The second purpose is to stir up those who are sleeping, to wake up and look carefully at what's happening. All these things are telling us something. All these things are telling us something. So let's look at Matthew 24 this morning with this in mind. In verse 1, we read that Jesus was walking away from the temple. He was in the outside courts, and if you remember chapter 23, He had just cried out in a moment, in a real scene of Jerusalem's unbelief, he cried out in lament over their unbelief. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. In the middle of that cry, he pronounced seven woes in chapter 23 on the scribes and the Pharisees, the rulers of Israel. And then in verse 38 of that chapter, he said something that threw the disciples. One thing here that really threw them. He said, see, verse 38, your house is left to you desolate. He just said, what? Your house is left to you desolate. And I say, you shall not see me anymore till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a powerful moment. I almost think you have to feel it. I almost think, just feel this just for a minute. From the perspective of the disciples. The disciples can't believe what they've just heard. And so in verse 1 of chapter 4, we read that they came to show him the buildings of the temple. Did you catch that? Lord, are you speaking of that temple? Look at it again. You can't mean the Jerusalem temple. Did you mean to say that that glorious temple is going to be left desolate? The temple was everything to Israel. I mean, you know the history and the scriptures of the temple, its glory, and who built the temple. And the thing had fallen down a couple times. But here, this temple was pristine. It was beautiful. For Israel to not have the temple, how do you even process that? How do you begin to process that? And so Jesus replied to their concern in verse 2. And he said, you see all these things, do you not? In other words, take another look at them. I want you to study this with your eyes for a minute. Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus just said Jerusalem and its temple is done. I'm done with it. We're throwing it down. We then read Jesus goes out and he sits on the Mount of Olives. This overlooked the beautiful Kidron Valley. And if you could have a scene and you knew what this looked like, it's you're looking over all the accomplishments of mighty Jerusalem and all of its beauty and all of its great glory. This is the city of the great king. This is everything, all the history of Israel. The pride of the Jews was Jerusalem. And there was Mount Zion. The temple and all of its extravagance and better, they thought, than what Solomon had crafted and built. And we can imagine the astonishment that goes on here. The stones, they say, at least as Josephus records, were some 35 feet. White, beautiful stones. The temple dominated the landscape when you looked. It would have been the thing that every eye gazed upon sitting up on the Mount of Olives. In fact, the rabbis would say, he who has not seen the temple of Herod has never seen a beautiful building. Never seen one. What Jesus just said in Matthew chapter 24 was absolutely devastating. If you were to go on a mountain, hypothetically, and look over New York, and you were to sit up high in 2001, and you were to look down, and off in the distance, you would have seen two massive towers, wouldn't you? And who would have ever dreamed, right? In power, the symbol of Wall Street and America's power. If somebody had come along and said, see those? Next week, they're coming down. What would you have said? If you really believed him, you would have fallen right into panic. What do you mean those are coming down? I can't even fathom the thought of that the World Trade Center is going to be toppled over. We can only imagine what Americans would have felt seeing all of that and hearing all of that. And when it did happen, think of how much devastation there was in this country. Snapped our pride, didn't it? Oh, it snapped it. Everything that symbolizes U.S. power, imagine. If it was said, all of it, White House, trade centers, the monument, everything you want to say that symbolizes the power of the U.S. is going to be knocked over. That would be absolutely distressing to us. The disciples come to Jesus with this thought on their minds, and they have a couple questions. Lord, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? If somebody had said that about the United States, we'd say it's got to be the end of the world, right? That's what we think. That's how much pride we have. The United States falls, so does everything else. And that's how they looked at it. If this temple gets knocked over, it's got to be the end. When are you coming? Now, Jesus is going to answer these questions. They're two different questions, and there's going to be a whole period in between these two events happening. But here it is clear, when Jesus said, not one stone will be left here upon another, he was talking about the destruction of the temple, and then the second question has to do with his second coming in glory. We want to know. We want to understand this. You want to understand this? I want to understand this. What do you hear in these questions? Fear. It is complete fear that has overcome them. Got to be the end if Jerusalem falls. What does it mean for us, and what do we do? And I'm sure many of us are thinking that way heading into 2013. This is kind of a good old year's, New Year's perspective. Well, what happens if this whole economy crumbles? What happens on this financial, whatever they're talking about, fiscal cliff? And what happens when we pass? And what happens if this bubble bursts and this country falls as we know it? What does that mean for us and our children? No one knows. No one can answer that. Notice that? No one can answer the what if and what is possibly coming. And it could get really interesting. And again, that's probably not the best word. Christ begins to answer this. And he begins to answer each of their questions, applying what would happen in AD 70. I believe foreshadowing what would come at the end, linking it together to make some very grand observations and conclusions for them to go forward. So he responds in verses 4 through 14 with a list of signs of his coming. Now you'll notice down in verse 30, there's one single sign of his coming. There are signs, and then there is the sign. And the sign is that coming on the clouds of heaven with all of his glory. That's the sign. But there are signs that he is going to come. And so Jesus answers these, beginning in verse 4. And he says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet.
Well, we'll return to this subject tomorrow in Matthew chapter 24, but we would like to thank you for taking the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Do please go to our website at agradio.org. Many resources there for you, and these podcasts are all there free for download. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.